I think we've got enough people now. If we go ahead, we can go ahead and start. And so I'll call official roll to see who else here. So starting alphabetically with LSB members, Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you, Fred. Bella DeSoto. Bella? I don't hear anything from Bella. That's unusual. I don't think she's missed a meeting before. Michael Novick?
Present.
Thank you, Michael. Rocio Rivas? I don't hear Rocio. Paulina Vasiliev?
Present.
Thank you, Paulina. I'm Beth von Gunten, and I'm here. Margot Eiser? For public members?
Present.
Thank you, Margot. Ruth Strauss?
Yeah. I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Is Dr. Holly with us today? I miss that man. He hasn't been here in a while. I'll have to call him. Andrew Weiss.
Presente.
Thank you, Andrew. Raymond Goldstone.
Present.
Thank you. Bruce. Remind me one more time. Is it grief or grief?
It depends on whom I'm talking to.
That's been my experience, too.
There you go. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Okay. Nancy Lawrence. I don't hear Nancy. Jonathan Markowitz.
I'm here. How did you know?
Just a wild guess. Maria Skelton.
Yes, I'm here, and thank you.
Thank you. Laura Levitson.
I'm present.
Thank you.
I'm not a member, though. I'm not a member of the committee.
That's okay. I've got you down as a guest.
Oh, okay.
I've got you down as a guest. You're welcome anytime. Sasha Kalik. I don't hear Sasha. Or is that Sasha? Hello? I think that was just a ghost in the machine. Michael Hayes?
Yes, and for the record, H-E-I-S-S, just to be sure.
That's what I've got down. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I think that's everyone on my list. So welcome to everyone. We'll do a brief agenda approval today. It's not a complicated agenda. We started with roll call, now agenda approval. Then we'll have announcements. And following that, we'll hold a KPFK listeners roundtable. There was a standard set of questions. Hello? There was a standard set of questions recently put to all KPFK general manager candidates by the GM search committee. And our today's meeting will focus on our own responses to some of that same set of questions. And we'll go around and do discussion, roundtable discussion. And then briefly before we end, we'll have a quick round of thumbs up and thumbs down for the best and worst you've heard over our own airways since the last time we met, if whatever caught your ear. And I should say, full disclosure up front, I have a national strategic planning meeting starting at 5:30, which that wasn't my idea. That's where they stuck it after I've already got us on the calendar. So I'll have to leave then, but others are welcome to stay and talk if they would like to. So it is. Who?
Bella DeSoto. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Bella. There you are. Okay. I'm going to put you down.
I apologize. I had so much going on today.
That's okay. I said I didn't think you, I don't think you've ever missed a meeting as far as I can remember. So welcome. We're just now approving the agenda. Read through it quickly, and are there any amendments or additions?
Did you send the agenda via email?
What's that?
Did you send the agenda via email, Beth?
Yes, I did.
I see it.
I don't see Dr. Halle's address in the to section. I don't know if you sent any blind carbon copy, but I have it right here so I could get on the call. And I don't see Dr. TCH on the to section.
He is. No, he's not. You're absolutely right. I noticed he's not included. No, he isn't. He was addressed.
Okay.
What about Zounds 456? Isn't that?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Okay, huh. So he that's the address I've been using. I hope he's got it. He hasn't been here in a while, and I've been concerned. I don't have a phone number for him, or I'd call.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I see it now. Zounds 456. He is listed in Dr.
He has not been well. He's been on the web. Yeah, he's been having some issues.
Sorry, I'm going to mute.
Okay, so if there are no objections, we'll go ahead with the agenda, starting with announcements. And I have a few, nothing very long. First, the good news, the second PPP loan for Pacifica has now officially been forgiven. Yay, that's $1.2 million, I think. So that's a relief. It was widely expected to be. It was seen as just a procedural thing, but until we get that actual seal of approval, it's always a little nerve-wracking. So,
Beth, Jonathan, can you please repeat what you just said?
The second round of PPP stimulus money, the loan that we got earlier this year, has now been officially forgiven. It was widely anticipated that it would be, but until it is, you know, it's everybody just sort of holds their breath. So it's a big relief to know that, indeed, we don't have to repay that loan. That's been forgiven.
Bella, back, if I may be heard.
Okay, very briefly, this wasn't intended as discussion, just announcement.
No,
but
just to clarify, Jonathan asked, this is the Payroll Protection Federal Plan. Payroll Protection Plan loan.
And we qualified for two rounds of that, about $1.2 million each time. It was
right.
In response to the COVID disruption to the economy. And it went out widely across the whole country. We were by no means the only beneficiary. So next announcement, both Programming Oversight Committee motions from last month's meeting were presented to the KPFK LSB yesterday and were adopted without opposition. So I'm reporting our success.
Could you read those two motions?
Sure. Let me go down to where I had them posted.
For the stream. Thank you.
Yes. The first was, KPFK management shall consult listener members in the Programming Oversight Committee in open session with listener participation and input before any major local programming changes are implemented. Other means of assessing listener interests, priorities, and preferences shall also be consulted, including, but not limited to, appropriate professional listener metrics services, the KPFK Community Advisory Board, the KPFK Community Town Halls or Forums, live on-air call-in programs, as well as direct communication from listeners. Fundraising metrics shall be one of a number of considerations in determining programming and not the sole deciding factor. That was the motion as we put it forward at the LSB meeting yesterday. It was amended to include reference to the Committee of Inclusion. That was the only amendment, and it makes sense to me. So that was our first success. Widely adopted.
I think we should have the reference to listen to members of the committee and just said members of the committee.
Right. Thank you. I'm still looking at, because I have it on the same page, I was looking at the what was the wording from last. So thank you for catching that. Good catch, Michael. And then the second motion was the KPFK Programming Oversight Committee requests that all pre-recorded and or rebroadcast programming be identified as such before and after each broadcast, along with the original date of production. And then we offer a couple of examples. And that was also adopted without opposition. So thank you, those who took part in last month's meeting. Thank you for a productive session, and hopefully that will help us move the KPFK programming agenda forward. So on to, yes?
This is Paulina.
Hello, Paulina.
I know you're not expecting a debate around the announcements, but may I make a brief comment and question? It could be something maybe for new business on the agenda at some point.
Okay.
First of all, congratulations on the work. I think these motions are pertinent and timely. My question is about implementation. I have noticed that many very well-intended motions just don't get implemented. Yeah. And because there isn't an implementation mechanism or protocol that is written, that is agreed on, and that should be followed automatically. So perhaps, and I know this would be more of a question for governance, maybe here we could have a brief, at some point, maybe a brief discussion of what you see as the best way to implement, right, to help implementation, because really it's now out of our hands, but nevertheless. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Michael, Paulina. Yes, Michael?
I did report the motions to the IGM and the NCOM IGM after the meeting.
Thank you. That's good to know. I hope you have a paper trail of that in case we need to refer to it at any point in the future. Sorry that we even have to make that consideration, but it's come up in the past. I hope that this committee will host the new GM as soon as he's available at the next meeting, if that's possible, and we can discuss that then. I've been thinking about this same issue, and I agree that it's an issue for governance. I'm thinking about the possibility. I'm not ready to put this forward as a motion yet, but I'm thinking about the possibility of something like a compliance subcommittee, because it's not just compliance in from this committee. It's a problem across the board, and just compliance as an issue. And I'm going to give it some further thought before I bring it forward. But thank you for raising the issue, Paulina. And I've got it down for future discussion here and elsewhere. Yes, Bella.
Yes, thank you. Yes, those motions did fly through, and they're very good. The Outreach Committee also put forth a coherent motion to insist and push for on-air candidate forms. So, Michael, since he's the chair of the LSB, I would like to ask him if he can give us any feedback, if there was any feedback interaction from the IGM and the incoming GM regarding the motions submitted to them. Michael, please.
Nothing yet. The meeting was Sunday. I sent it Sunday night late, and they're both in D.C., so they probably didn't see it till today. I haven't seen, I checked email earlier, I didn't see anything. I will say that we added as a standard agenda item to the LSP meetings in the pre-business part, a check-in on the implementation of previous motions. It's on the governance template for LSP meetings.
Thank you, Michael. I did notice that.
Okay. So, in other words, it is Monday. This motion from the Outreach Committee was supposed to be given immediate attention since we were pushing for starting today on air forms or this week to vacate an entire strip of programming in prime time, whether late afternoon or evening, early evening, to accommodate all the 38 candidates on live on-air forums with call-ins. So this is very, very important. Is there any way, Michael, that you can follow up with these individuals? Because today is the 16th, and I have already received the ballot notice with my PIN number to vote.
Yes, I, as I said, I sent it late last night. I'll follow up today. One of the suggestions I made was that since there is an opening in the grid at 4 p.m., that would be an ideal time. But I haven't heard back yet. I'll have to check my email later.
Thank you. Okay, Beth, thank you.
Thank you. Sorry. Bye.
I'm sorry, 5 p.m.
So just to work our way through the rest of the announcements quickly, Miguel Calzada, the new KPFK general manager, is scheduled to begin on September 15th. That's 1 week before our next Programming Oversight Committee meeting. If he's out there or catches up with the recording of this meeting later, then welcome, Miguel, and we'll look forward to meeting with you at your earliest opportunity. In addition to that, all Programming Oversight Committee meetings for the next 12 months have now been posted to KPFTX. That link is included in your agenda today, along with access information, which will remain the same for this and all scheduled KPFK Programming Oversight Committees. So if you if you got here today using that information, that same information will get you into all scheduled future meetings. Our next meeting will be Monday, September 20th at 4 p.m. Via the same access information. Are there any other announcements before we move to our listener roundtable?
Yes, Bella to the stack, if I may.
Okay.
Yes, the next outreach committee will be, as always, the last Sunday of the month, which is August 29th. At 11:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And I also want to say that we will be working closely with Miguel, the incoming new GM, to get the next town hall event early enough promoted so that we are looking somewhere towards the end of September for the next town hall. Hopefully, that's the timeline. For that to happen.
Thank you. Anything else?
I sent yesterday. I mentioned that I had sent right after, since this committee is going to be partnering with Committee of Inclusion, possibly. I sent Lawrence Reyes, director. Minutes of that meeting, right after the meeting, along with, you may recall that I sent this committee some months ago a blank template of the programming grid so that we could play with as to what we want to see. We feel that would be responsive to the signal area, along with various different paths and recent programming grid. So that, and also the community needs assessment, which I also sent it to you, I believe, last year, Beth. So, and it's also posted at Google Docs. Google Docs works very well for me. It's easy, and that's where I deposit all public documents that I need to share with other people, important documents, including audio recordings and so forth. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We'll move on to the listener roundtable at this point. Hello? One more?
Yes, Andrew, for an announcement.
Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, Beth, an unofficial announcement, unofficial business. Can I announce the next difficult listener forum?
Point of order.
Point of order? Yes.
I believe that the announcement, even in committee, of an unsanctioned program is not a good idea.
I respect it.
Now that's a discussion.
I don't know of anything prohibiting it, and given that it's pertinent and neutral in not taking sides, and that it's fulfilling a need that the station itself is remiss in filling. I thank you for putting forth the consideration, but at least at this point, I'm going to rule that it's in order. If you can point me to a rule, a Roberts rule, or a part of the bylaws that would preclude that, then I stand open to being corrected. But until I, you know, can cite authorities for turning that down, I'll let Andrew go ahead. Andrew, as a regular part of this committee, Andrew,
back to the stack.
Bella,
yes.
I want to point out that this is still announcements, and we're a third of the way through the meeting, and we need to get to the listener roundtable, and this
okay.
meeting was just intended
to,
not to be discussion,
to.
But announcements.
I understand, but the announcement of the Pacifica listener forum is germane, and not only that, announcements must be open for community announcements as well. So it is definitely in order. Thank you.
So that was discussion on an item the chair's already ruled on. So, Andrew, if you want
to... Share that out.
Andrew, did you want to make the announcement?
Yes, I'll try and be brief.
Thank
you. Just to let folks know that the Pacifica Listener Forum focuses exclusively on issues relating to Pacifica Radio, and is open to the entire Pacifica community. And all of our events and announcements of them go to the interim executive director, and so they're aware of our events. So anyway, real quickly, the next Pacifica Listener Forum is a week from Tuesday, which is the 24th. Let me look at my calendar. Yes, Tuesday the 24th, and it'll always be held the fourth Tuesday of the month. And it is, the time is 4 p.m. Pacific time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern time. Once again, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time on August 24th. And it's open to everybody, including staff, LSB members, et cetera. And to get on our contact list, the email contact is PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com. Once again, PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com. And we do record the events, and they're available for the asking for all members of the Pacifica community. Thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you, Michael. Yes.
Yes, the FC has set up a weekly newsletter with announcements of LSB meetings, PNB meetings, and other news, and you can subscribe to that by sending a blank email to SYMPA, S-Y-M-P-A, at LSB KPFK, I'm sorry, KPFK LSB News, KPFK LSB News, at lists, I'm sorry, to send the email to SYMPA, S-Y-M-P-A, at lists.riseup.net, and in the subject line, you put subscribe, KPFK LSB News. Subscribe, KPFK LSB News, and you'll get an email back from List and just verify that you did request a subscription. You'll get a weekly listing of upcoming LSB and PMB meetings and how to access them. Thanks.
I'm sorry, at what.net?
Lists.riseup, R-I-S-E-U-P, riseup.net.
Thank you.
And Michael, if you want to send me a very brief two or three line access for that, then I can put it in the footer of future Programming Oversight Committee agendas when they go out, so that
okay, sure.
Okay, thank you.
It's also on the LSB page now at kpfk.org. I've been updating that regularly. I put up your director's report there as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Andrew, real quick.
Andrew?
I'm sorry, Beth. I just forgot to mention regarding Pacific Listener Forum, if this makes people more at ease, that the general manager of KPFK, interim general manager Mo Thomas, gets notification as well. And in fact, he's participated in two of our forums and said he was quite pleased about it. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. We're going to move on now to our listeners' roundtable for the week, our discussion, or of the month, rather, a discussion of the standard set of questions that was recently put to all KPFK general manager candidates by the GM search committee. And I included that list in the agenda I sent out. Is there anybody else that needs that list now? Does everybody have that list in front of them?
I'm sorry, I did not understand. It's hard to hear. Can you repeat that, Beth? Forgive me.
Do you have the email agenda that I sent earlier this afternoon?
Yes, it's in front of me.
Then that includes the list of questions, right, that we're going to discuss now under item number 4.
Okay, got it.
Those are the questions that were put to all the candidates for general manager, including the one who finally won the position. So we'll start at the top with the first one. I'll read through all of them in case there's anyone that isn't in a position to look at them now, but... starting with the first one, what is your assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of the current KPFK broadcasting grid as far as content, format, scheduling, and other factors? Then, why do you think our audience is so small?
Can someone mute, please?
And how can we increase it? And what techniques or criteria would you use to ensure regular evaluation and improvement of our program offerings? So starting with the first question, I'll take a stack and we can go around. So who would like to address this? Anybody? What is your assessment of
this? Beth, this is Paulina.
Yes. Hi, Paulina.
Hi. Far be it for me to want to address the question, rather maybe make a suggestion as to where to start. Does everybody know where to find the program grid on the KPFK website?
Good point.
Because you wouldn't know what to critique unless you could look at it. And you go on the KPFK website, and you click on, wait a second, walk me, walking through. Okay, under, I'm on my phone, so under the main menu, home, you scroll down to where it says programs, and under programs it says daily schedule, and that's where you go to. It's a little, it's hiding from you. So there's a week there, and you can see, at least on the phone, you can click on each day, today, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to see the day schedule. Now, it's more helpful to look at it when it's everything on the same page. Oh, there it is, and there's the word schedule grid. If you click on that, that's what we want to be looking at. And I can, Beth, if I email you the link to the place.
I have it now. I just copied it, and I'm going to put it in. Thank you. It's
okay.
Such a good idea. I'm going to put it mm-hmm. in an email now and
yeah.
then paste the list of program committee members. And so it should be arriving in your box momentarily.
And Bella to the stack.
Yes, Bella.
So you scroll down. You scroll down to schedule grid. When you open the schedule grid, it will open up to military time. And most people have a great deal of difficulty with military time, which is why it takes hours to produce what I did, which is a template. Right? So the template has regular civilian time, and that is the template to work with. And I suggest that we adopt that to work with in the prior template, grid that I have submitted to this committee, so that we can start, it's like moving furniture around to that, so that we can eventually present a much better programming grid as an option, as a proposal to the incoming GM that we may feel would work better.
I just sent it this. There was someone else I sent the, I think, I'm sending it. I'll go back and get it again. Yeah.
I am Lisa Gar, host of the Aware Show, heard on KPK on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. All right, and I am Sylvia Barrett, host of the Expansion Zone that airs on Mondays at 1 p.m. And it's just fun. I know.
What are we listening to?
Say hi, and we're on the same station together, which is awesome.
Hello? Excuse me. What audio is that we're listening to? Where is that coming from? Well, I don't know. That felt like an intrusion. I'm not sure where that came from. But we're going to start with the first question. I have sent the programming grid to everyone by email, or the link to the programming grid, and it changes day by day as things get scheduled and rescheduled and moved. So it's not written in stone. To keep up with it, you would need to go back day by day.
Right.
Raymond of the stack.
Raymond, thank you. Go ahead.
Comment. I think that the grid shown for 8:15, the week of 8:15, is during fun drive.
Yes.
Assuming it ever ends, when is the best week to look at using next that doesn't have the problems of the, you know, programs that are devoted to fundraising?
Good question. Paula?
I have an answer.
Paulina, go ahead.
You're not looking at the grid. You're looking at the daily schedule that's different. At the top, it should say schedule grid, two words, underlined, it's a hyperlink, and that's where you find it. And I'm sending that link to Beth, and Beth,
I'm
looking forward to yours.
I am looking.
The group.
No.
Yes.
One at a time, please. One at a time, please.
Impossible.
Well, that's aspirational.
Yes.
I just don't give up. It's just not easy.
I have an answer. This is Laura. I have an answer.
Yes, Laura.
If you're looking at the grid, which shows the entire week, at the top it says next, and it'll take you to the next week. And the next week is the regular schedule. It has all the old programs, and it hasn't been changed yet. So the regularly scheduled, normal, everyday programs will be there until Saturday, and then they'll change it to the next week. As a matter of fact, you'll still see Ian Masters on there next week, and I don't know if he'll actually be there. So that's your best bet, I think, in my opinion.
That's the week of 8/29.
The week of
8/22.
And Michael, you wanted to address this too? Yes?
I wanted to clarify to Bolina that it looks different on the phone and on the computer. If you're looking at the computer, you get what Ray was talking about, which is a full week, and up at the top right-hand corner it says next, and you can see the following full week.
Thank you for that clarification. I was lost. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as Beth said earlier, it's always a dynamic. There is no longer a static list of what the regular programming grid is, because
there is a static list. I just sent it to everybody.
Okay,
I'm sending it out now.
And in that static list, by the way, Ian Masters has been replaced by Democracy Now.
That's not very good. That is not good at all.
Is that a
excuse me? I'm gonna call the
rerun
here.
That, yeah.
Well, we're going to go around one at a time, and you can say whatever you want to about any program you want to when it comes to your turn. I'm just distracted by trying to get this sent out in the moment. And so here it comes. The second one, I sent one link. Here's the second one from Paulina. Maybe it'll be more useful. Whether it's based on what you're seeing on the grid or what you're accustomed to hearing and what you'd like to hear, back again to that initial question, what's your assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of current KPFK broadcasting grid as far as content, format, scheduling, and other factors? And I would just add that the station's going through major changes now, and it's not clear where we'll be when all of this comes out. I expect further changes once the new GM comes on, so this is intended as useful input to him as a starting point. And so it could be there will be changes again between now and when he gets here. We may revisit this exercise later on. So,
can you take a stat, Beth? I'd like to be on the stat.
Well, Stella, I was just about to do that, but it's going to be someone else's turn to start with. May I have a stat, please? Who'd like to speak next?
Bella to the stat, please.
Bella, I'm going to wait for other people to speak because you've spoken more than anyone else here and possibly more than everyone else combined, so I'm going to let other people speak first. Thank you.
I do not mind. Just put me on the stack, please.
This is Janine. I just want to let you know I'm on the call. Thank you.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Of course, Margo would like to be on the stack, but I thought the idea of just whoever signed into the meeting, just go around the circle like that, maybe just call people by name. That might work, too. Let everybody have a chance without having to be on a stack. That's just a suggestion.
we could do that. We're getting, I'm getting close to, I've only got like 20 minutes or so left. So whatever we're going to do, I'd like to, I was hoping we'd get a really good discussion out of this. We had a pretty good discussion last meeting. I'm reluctant to put people on the spot who haven't asked for the floor. I'm willing I'd like to hear from a good cross section of people who are here. We'd like input from everybody, anybody who would like to reflect on this one. Maybe I can start by asking Raymond, your question asked, answered? Was that sufficient to?
You mean which I'm supposed to be looking at?
You were asking about isn't the grid that we're looking at now, doesn't that reflect Fund Drive?
And I'm looking now at the week of 8/20.
Right.
And frankly, I'm terrified to start.
Well, we won't look. We'll look the other way. We'll just listen.
No, it's what you would hear.
Well, okay, well, let's start with your favorite things. What are our strengths? What do you think our strengths are? And then we can turn to our weaknesses or any other order you want to do it in.
Andrew to the stack.
So, Raymond, I'm happy to come back to you anytime you're ready to speak. I'm going to turn to Andrew now because it sounds like he is ready. Andrew?
You had Margo also.
That's right.
Balance. No, it's just a
well, who's starting? I don't. I can...
Margo, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go ahead and Andrew?
Right. Okay. Okay. Here I go. Let me be quiet and peaceful. First of all, it's quite obviously that there's only a tiny little slot for local news, and that maybe could be expanded. Secondly, let's look up to where it says yellow, health and spirituality. If we're going to have Alan Watts be done during a regular time, then that should be moved to take away one of the aware shows. You know, that would fit in that little zone at 1 o'clock. Okay, during the week, that would be Sunday up to leave maybe an hour for anti-war radio to be on at for an hour. And I don't see counterspin listed here. Oh, that comes on at Monday morning, very early, which should be also an hour in prime time.
Can someone mute their phone, please?
That's not mine. There you go. Okay. So that's one big one. Then I see that, once again, 3 hours of reggae. Now, I did hear some good reggae yesterday. I liked it. But cutting off 1 hour of that reggae would allow for maybe Revolution of the Groove to have an hour. And then the other things, our Middle Eastern focus, all those things on Saturday need a lot more time in a way because they are so important. And that's mainly what I wanted to say. That, and also, one day maybe to have another Tom Hartman, so you get at least an hour of his program. And then also, Stephanie Miller, maybe something could replace her at that 6 o'clock spot. So those are my overall just straightforward 1, 2, 3 things. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
That should get the ball rolling. And I think Andrew was up next.
Yes, this is Andrew. Does this include a suggestion for a new program?
As far as I'm concerned, it could, yeah.
Great. All right. Something I've been suggesting almost forever, I think is the most important thing, which would govern everything, is a weekly dialogue with the listeners with open phone lines that discusses the station itself, everything and anything about the station. And the guests, it would be run, hosted by listeners, and the guests would be the station staff, the LSB, the PNB, and the executive foundation staff, who would rotate through. to give the listeners time to dialogue with them. And I would suggest it be at least a half hour a week, preferably an hour a week. And as a little background here, I've been suggesting this, like I said, for a long time. And on one of the candidate forms for the LSB a couple of years ago, I called in every show and asked the candidates about this. And Christina Blasdale, I remember, was the host. She said, well, that's a no-brainer. And then every candidate, 100%, said they would support that. Thank you, Beth.
May I include one thing? Margo forgot to say that background briefing should not be on Sundays, no matter what slot that is. That should be something like the ones that are only a half an hour, like Economic Update or On Contact. Those should be placing whatever, if Ian Master, that hour of 11 should be something more pertinent than him having more time, or whoever's in charge of that time slot having more time. Okay, that would be Sunday, just to get like some really pertinent programs to have a lot more time. I think it could be rearranged. Thank you. I just wanted to jump that in there because that's always bothered me, that he has so much time, or that particular type of program has not as much pertinence as some others. Sorry, but thank you for the time.
Thank you. Are there others wanting to speak?
Bella, for the staff.
Paulina.
And who else?
Paulina.
Paulina. Okay, we have heard from both of you. Bella, if you can keep it to 90 seconds, go ahead and then
so
you'll hear from Paulina.
I would like to propose that the on-air candidate should not take a backseat to anything. It must be prime time across the same time. A 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock spot will not do. It must be when people are home. It must be promoted around the clock so people tune in. It must not be during during working hours. So it must be in the early evening or evening. And that's how they were done in the past. So it must be at peak time in the evening, I suggest, 6 or 7. They used to start at 7 o'clock always till 8 o'clock. And that's what needs to be. Regarding Ian Masters, he needs to disappear from the face of the earth. Thank you.
Paulina?
Ruth,
yes.
To the stack.
Okay, we'll hear from Paulina first, and then next will be Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll start with the easy stuff. Ian Masters has resigned officially, and he's no longer on the grid. But that's the good news, I suppose, for some. The bad news, perhaps, or the more complicated... No, let me start over. The good news is that now every day at 5 o'clock is pretty much an open slot. Right now they're planning to rerun Democracy Now!, but that's just a default, you know, the easiest option. I think that's because I'm sure that whoever is making those decisions, that would be the IGM, I assume, is looking for guidance from us, from staff, from listeners, et cetera, as to what's the solution. And here, I think this is wonderful timing because this is the time for us to say, this is when you preempt your rerun and do live or pre-recorded listener forums, for instance, right? So we have four hours that used to be Ian Masters now to choose from this week. It's just a question of who is going to jump up and say, let's organize it, right? Who's going to grab Mo, who is really busy right now with family issues on the East Coast, you know? So it's a question of let's get it done this week. Now we can, my opinion. And then finally, the grid. Well, look, if you look at the grid, it doesn't really make a lot of sense either as a strip grid or a patch quilt grid. There isn't a lot of logic there, which is why it kind of translates in two peaks per day on weekdays. You know, you have a peak in listenership around starting at 7, 8, picking up, you know, then it peaks for Democracy Now!, and then it's like drops pretty abruptly, and then we have almost nobody listening. And then it peaks again at 5 o'clock for Ian Masters, and it drops down again. And that happens every Monday through Thursday, right? So I would say we need to open up to the communities that are not listening, that used to listen and stop. literally, this is the time to say we're going to reorganize the grid intelligently, working with, you know, obviously it's going to be the new GM with us, and let's invite talent. Let's reopen the community broadcasting school, right? Free classes. Once you graduate, if you're good, you know, you'll get some space on the air. You'll get to try. You produce a pilot, that kind of thing. Or if people are already producing, let's start listening to what they have, and maybe then in a kind of a well thought out manner, there should be a mechanism for this, right? It should be open and transparent. We shouldn't be handing out shows to our friends, you see. So there should be a council and a foil. But let's revitalize the grid. Let's keep what works or move it elsewhere. Let's reorganize it. Let's stop being a social club. I'm done. Thank you. I took way too much time, and that'll be the last thing I'll say. Thank you.
Michael, Stack, please.
Okay.
Did you hear Michael? Yes.
I got the vote. Ruth is next, and then Michael, and Andrew.
Jonathan to the stack, please. Thank you.
Raymond to the stack.
Okay. You might have to remind me those last couple. I'm trying to get them all down. Thank you. Ruth?
Can you hear me?
This is Janine.
Yes.
I've been waiting for someone to forward me the program grid. That would be great. I've been emailing if anyone's at their computer. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
I sent that out to everybody. Is there anybody there that could send that to Janine now?
I'm just getting home on the phone. I'll take a look at my computer in a minute.
Okay. Is Bella still there? Can you send that to Janine, Bella? I'll see to it that you get it, Janine. If no one else sends it, I can send it in a minute or two. I'm trying to get down the whole stack here. Thank you, Michael. And Ruth, you're up.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So just a few little assorted things, not anything earth-shattering, but what Margo said, Counterspin is very good. Actually, it's only a half hour, I think. It's only 5:30 to 6 a.m., and it's the kind of program that, you know, dissects all the falsehoods in the mainstream media or things that have been left out. So I think that would be a perfect thing to fill in during a more primetime position than 5:30 a.m. on a Monday morning. The other thing, this of course would not take up a half an hour or anything, but community calendar needs to be back. The other thing is, you know, we did not used to have back-to-back fund drives. This to me has only happened in the past 2 or 3 years. So I think we should take a look at what the grid was back when we only had seasonal, you know, truly every season was a fund drive without having back-to-back soft ones and hard ones and all of that. So I think that's one source of information. Obviously, that was successful at one time. And then as far as new input, again, until we get these forums going, I sound like a broken record. But Annelle or somebody has, you know, all the members who filled out a survey in January, and I don't know where that is, but that is one way to figure out what people wanted, at least while we're figuring out what the new grid should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. And I'm going to take just a moment before Michael Novick speaks to address the issue of the survey. I followed up with Mo about that, the interim general director, and he said they went through everything they have from Annelle. Annelle didn't leave a lot. But what they have been able to get to, there's not one trace of that survey. They can't.
Well, I will take it upon myself to try to call Annelle. and find out what happened. It took me 40 minutes, so I will.
I will leave that up to you, Ruth. You can let
okay,
me know
thanks.
What you find
thanks.
Out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that's the official word at this point. I wish we had it too. At least at this point, we don't.
It's
thank
inexcusable,
you.
But so are a lot of things. Thank you.
Right. We'll add that to the list. Michael Novick?
Yes. Going back to the original question about strengths and weaknesses of the grid, I think it's a major weakness of the grid that the drive time, which is the anchor of the programming, the identity of the station, both the morning and evening, are weak. And in the morning in particular, almost everything is nationally syndicated program, with the exception of an hour for Vic Jerami and an hour for Melina Abdullah and Move the Crowd. So I think that that's a serious, serious weakness. I think that we need a co-hosted morning magazine that embraces local news, public affairs, cultural coverage, and I think that would, which we used to have, and would attract a lot of listeners. People expect to hear that in the morning. I think that might be what goes in 6 a.m. instead of Stephanie Miller, which we're picking up because it's free from broadcast the night before.
Great suggestion.
We got nothing but complaints about it. I do think we could easily have one standing host and five alternating co-hosts, to bring some variety into the grid. But most people do expect to hear a little dialogical kind of program in the morning, maybe male and female voices, and the more local coverage you can provide, the better. I think that the same thing is true in the evening. I think that 5 o'clock slot could be a meet the press type show where maybe there's one standing host and a group of rotating other commentators and analysts from differing political perspectives who then would jointly interview one major guest. I think another weakness of our grid is so many of our public affairs shows follow the cookie cutter model of three or four guests in an hour with a single same host, and there's only one viewpoint. I think that's kind of stultifying, and I think it's not commonly used anywhere else in media. I think that's one of the reasons we've lost so many listeners. So I think that something that went in depth, I think if we had a theme to some of our programming over the course of a month, if we look, for example, at the housing crisis or the pandemic, and not to dictate to any particular broadcaster what to cover, but if over the course of a month we covered that subject in depth on a lot of different shows from a lot of different perspectives, at the end of each month we could do some kind of a town hall focusing on what are some solutions that the community are raising for that problem. And I think that would be really stimulating radio. I think that the evening is the same. We have one person hosting, I think, 24 and a half hours of our grid, and also most of that, half of that is considered a national broadcast. I think late night we should have a comedy block across the week, let's say 11 to 12 or at 12 midnight. We could have Jimmy Dore, we could have the Poacher Hour of Power, maybe one night of Stephanie Miller, if people, anybody's really into her. We could have maybe the Mooney Twins or, there are some really exciting female comics and Muslim Arab comics. I think they were completely out of touch with what's going on in the culture, and it shows. I think that we have to restore an hour-long evening newscast, and I proposed to the previous general manager we could do that by getting stringers, beat reporters from existing movement organizations that are covering the prisons, the police, the city council, the housing crisis, the homelessness crisis, education, the environment, gun violence, poverty. All these groups could be quickly trained to produce, valid radio journalism based on the intense scrutiny they're giving to all the institutions of this city, county, and state and federal government that are failing on all those crises. And I think also covering of what people are doing to solve those problems. I think we should have an urban gardening show. We could have maybe Ron Finley or Green Grounds, Florence Machida, who's like a county master gardener. I think there would be a lot of interest in how to end food deserts by actually raising crops in communities. Just the list goes on and on. Think of all the shows you used to have. We don't have anymore. We don't have the kids show anymore. We don't have. We were trying to get a bilingual children's show with Uncle Ruthie and some of the Spanish language broadcasters. It never happened, and they canceled Uncle Ruthie. I propose that we do a bookmark, KPFK Radio for Readers, and give it out at all libraries and bookstores with a list of literary arts programming on KPFK. And they never did it. And then they canceled Bibliocracy. They canceled Poets Cafe. I think that, you know, it's very clear why we've lost our audience. We've abandoned our audience with the programming that we have now in favor of a very narrow political spectrum and a lot of health and spirituality material that people are turned off by. So I think that the endless fund drives are the consequence, and also a vicious cycle. The more we have them, the fewer listeners and the fewer donations we're actually getting, as is very evident in the current fund drive. Thanks. I'm done.
Thank you, Michael. And Michael Heiss is up next.
Yes, thank you. I guess another Michael with some of the same ideas, but some different ideas. I guess just as a, you know, personal privilege thing, for the time being, I'd say I keep Stephanie Miller, because other than Pacho, is there, to Michael Novick's point, we need a good laugh for crying out loud. And if it's not Stephanie Miller, though, you know, maybe it's me, I think she's funny, that there should be some humor, because goodness knows we need it. But the key thing now is with the departure of Ian Masters and a news block that really isn't a local, and given that that's drive time, radio is all about drive time, I don't know what our quarter hour listenership is, but one would presume that that would be one of the more listened to time slots, that we should attack that with the most relevant, most local, most call-in, something that you're stuck in the freeway. This gives you a reason to listen to KPFK, because you're going to find something that you can't find elsewhere, or a spin on something that you won't find elsewhere. I would suggest that the Ian Masters Sunday slot, which is clearly available, I would use that for some local programming that is maybe Gen Z, maybe millennial. Maybe that's where you put the creative talent that is just begging to be heard, that we are not addressing. And that's a perfect, hey, you're home, listen to something time slot. Excuse me. I guess my summary is that, I apologize for this dog, we've got to get more local, get more diverse. Where is an interview show, 15-minute interviews, two per half hour, with local city council people, the supervisors, the police, the sheriffs, those people? Instead of complaining about them, let's ask them questions and let them air their views rather than just becoming grievance radio. And I think that there is an opening in the available time slots, as well as the other reformatting, more local, more comedy, broader in terms of age, as well as political spectrum and belief, and also other, you know, ethnic and cultural communities that we're not serving or not serving well enough. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Michael Weiss, or excuse me, I just conflated the two of you. Andrew Weiss, that was Michael Heiss, and now we're turning to Andrew Weiss.
I'll be very quick if I can, since I've gone already. First, regarding what Paulina said, if I'm correct, regarding training of future programmers, et cetera, of board ops, at the last Pacifica Listener Forum, the person from KPFA who's part of the First Voice Apprenticeship Program, which does training at KPFA, he says he's doing it now. He's offering that to the entire network. His name is Frank Sterling. And you can contact him, I guess, at KPFA in Berkeley. And then just, and I second everything both Michaels said. I thought all that was excellent. And then lastly, just quickly, 2 points of order. I think we should have a ground rule for no personal attacks or put downs. Whether or not folks like former programmer Ian Masters deserve respect, I think we should not attack anyone. And then secondly, I would ask folks like Margo, who spoke up after I had my last turn and kind of went on for a few minutes without being recognized, that everyone wait to respect the chairperson, Beth, and wait to be recognized before talking so much. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Especially the first suggestion about no personal tax. I'm ready to adopt that on the spot. And so from this point forward, that'll be my personal policy in chairing. I appreciate the public mandate to go ahead with that. I find it really problematic to be presented with that, especially from a board member, because those kinds of comments from board members can carry liability. So I appreciate people's restraint in this regard, and we can say an awful lot and get across our meaning with civility and dignity. So thank you for that, Andrew. And that brings us to Raymond Goldstone.
All right, watch this happen. I have been listening to KPFK for 35 years or more, and lots come and gone. I no longer listen from 8 to midnight. I actually understand Spanish, but it doesn't entertain me, and that's just a listener. I frankly wish that what we could do is use one of the high-definition channels for English programming without having to disturb the politics of 8 to midnight. I also believe that we should be producing or getting drama into the grid. Now, I've said this before at another meeting, but I think if we could get, is that her name? The producer?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Susan, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
They do terrific drama. The problem is that she does advertisements right in the middle, patting her back and everyone else's, and sometimes interviewing a director. And I would hope that that could occur before the play or after the play, but not interrupting the play, because that's what keeps me from listening Sunday night at 10, because I can't stand the commercials, particularly when they interrupt the drama, which can also be comedy. I believe that we should have increasing numbers of shows, particularly music-related, where the host is in the studio. Now, I know that COVID is a problem, but be that as it may, if it lasts forever, then forget this. But I think there ought to be a way for, and probably email is the way, to comment to the DJ on the music. Someone mentioned the reggae. I can handle about an hour of that. But one of the things I've noticed, and I believe this is true for open lines anyway, is that our music presentations are very heavily Afro-Cuban, Latin, hip-hop, punk, and some of it, that's good, by the way, is rock music. However, none of it, even Rhapsody in Black, although he makes an effort, none of them, well, I shouldn't say none, but almost all the rock music is after the 90s, or I mean after the 80s. And whether we like it or not, one of the useful parts of old people like me is that we give money when we're happy. And I couldn't find one show that had anything about music, and you'll forgive me, like doo-wop. I'd even volunteer to put that show on. If PBS thinks it's okay and raises a ton of money, which it does, when it replays over and over their doo-wop shows, I'm told they make a lot of money. Also, I think there's an obligation on the part of DJs to know something and discuss something about the music they're going to play. Maggie LaPique does it. Not my favorite music, but at least she knows what it's about. We've worn out, I think, well, we just have a different, I mean, my tastes are different. I also want to make two other comments. I remember when people were actually thanked, if they wanted to be, by hosts who, when they gave money. Roy does it, or did it. Vanity may be the biggest factor in fundraising of any single item. I mean, if you put up a brick wall and put somebody's name on a brick if they give a certain amount of money, that brick gets covered very fast. And I will tell you one other thing and then leave it. I have never been thanked by KPFK for one dime, and believe me, it's a lot more than a dime, that I've given, except by Roy Tuckman on the air, because that's who he is. Thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. I've taken notes on all of this. I'm going to put myself on the stack at this point because I'm on the verge of needing to leave for the Strategic Planning Committee. Paulina, are you still here?
Jonathan to the stack, please.
One moment.
Jonathan. Yeah, I'm still here, and my 5:30 got canceled, so I'm going to stay.
If you're going to stay, would you be willing to chair when I step aside? If people want to, I hate to interrupt this. This is a good productive session. Would you be willing to? Are you in a position to do that?
I'm driving, so muting and unmuting myself will be a little complicated, and
okay.
That would be necessary.
Michael,
so I would rather.
Maybe Michael could do that then?
I'd be willing. Yeah, I'm willing to. I'm back home and
Thank you. Well, then I'm gonna privilege myself just long enough before I leave to add my 2 cents. I mean, I have extensive notes that I'd like to present to management at whenever it's convenient about my thoughts on programming. But just a couple things up front here. One for me. Our signal strength and clarity is not music quality. I can't get, you know, it's worth putting up with the the low fidelity of it to get the information I need. It doesn't interfere with getting any information most of the time, but it's just music is so forced to be euphonic, and I just can't listen through, you know, intermittent signals or static or whatever. So I don't, you lose me on all the music. And the other point for me is that we're not getting regular reports on our on-air statistics, who's listening. And it's not clear that it would be worth the investment at this point, because our statistics, the last we've seen, our statistics are so low that there's so little variability from one to the, it's not statistically significant. We're just bottomed out the whole time.
Bella,
if I had a mute button, I would use it.
Jonathan was before you.
I'm leaving the meeting. I haven't added anything of my own to this point. I'm leaving the meeting.
I have to leave also.
Bella, you're out of order. You're out of order. You've had lots of time to speak. You're out of order. You're interrupting me now. I'm going to finish what I'm saying. Thank you. I would like to point out that statistically, 70% of our listenership now is male. And that's been consistently so as far back as I've been able to get numbers about. That means that for every woman we have listening, there are more than two men, which means that we're not talking to the women. There's something about what we're doing, probably more or less across the board, that it's just we're missing that boat. And I would add to that statistically, women donate more than men do, not just to us, but I mean across the fundraising world. That's just known, and statistically that's what's reported. So I think we need to address that. I've got lots of thoughts about specific other aspects of programming, and when there's time and the right forum, I'd be happy to bring them forward. I was so pleased to hear you say something about a gardening program, Michael. I've got pages of notes on that. I miss the old KCRW gardening program, and I'd be happy to work on that to get that going. But I need to leave now, so I'm going to hand the gavel to Michael. And I think Jonathan's up next, if I'm not mistaken. And thank you all for being here, and I will look forward to meeting with you again next. But I want to add, anyone who wants to summarize what they've said today or add more, if you want to email that back to me, I will be compiling all of this in a report to the incoming general manager. And I appreciate any input you want to give. You have my email address from having received the agenda. So I'm out, and Michael, the floor is all yours.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
All right, so I think John Markowitz is up next, and I actually was trying to get on the stack, but I'm chairing, but I'll put myself on. That's okay with you. John?
Okay. I think it might be worthwhile to transcribe these meetings and have them as an ongoing archive document of what people are saying, because, you know, people are fairly verbose, and that way we get the accurate statements people have made on these meetings in the future. As far as the vacation of Ian Masters, and as far as, commentary, I think it's up to each board member to decide what it is they feel comfortable with. I'm completely against any kind of limitation upon any free speech of any person, but especially any listeners calling in or anybody else who are not board members. If staff people decide to want to call in and, make cases for this program or that program or defend anybody's program, I mean, that's their right also. In terms of what used to be considered the dirty laundry rule or talking one programmer talking about another programming on air, this has been a very controversial issue over the history of Pacifica going back at least 30 years. So that controversy is not going to go away. However, I think in these committee meetings as well as local station board meetings, everybody has to make a judgment as to what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate. I'm totally against any kind of censoring or filtering of anybody's content, number one. Regarding the schedule slot that has opened up as of Ian Masters' quote, retirement or resignation, unquote, from KPFK, I think that temporarily inserting Democracy Now! Into the Sunday slot is okay, just as a temporary, as far as, unless they're talking about 5 p.m., so, but in terms of how I see it, I think that, I mean, if KPFK is going to continue to carry the KPFA production of the so-called Pacifica News program at 6 p.m., then I really think that the 5 p.m. slot should be designated for a resuscitation or a reconstitution of the KPFK news department. Now, of course, this is going to be a project in the making. This isn't something that's just that we can snap our fingers and all of a sudden, you know, resurrect a news department or create one from scratch again. This is something that I think, in other words, I think that there's certain programming projects that what this committee can do a very good job of is, shall we say, provide a platform for people to have input upon how a program might be put together, but especially a news department in terms of what its parameters and its main focus would be. In my opinion, the most pressing issue our society is facing, not only in the Los Angeles area and within the reach of the Signal area, number one is the pandemic. Period, more than any other issue right now. And so my preference would be to immediately establish a 5 p.m. report on the pandemic. That's not a title. I'm just saying a program, an hour-long program, where people can be interviewed, whether they be medical experts, whether they be people from the health agencies in the county or the region, as well as have a highly condensed but very timely report at the beginning of the hour, which would bring up any timely news pertaining to the pandemic, but especially that's local, but also national and even international, that's pertaining to the spread of the Delta virus, variant, et cetera, and anything else, vaccinations. Because I think this is one of the primary reasons people do listen to, you know, obviously KNX 1070 AM, which is a news program 24/7, and they also have other public affairs programming during their 24-hour cycle, and also KPCC and KCRW. So because the pandemic reporting is of extreme importance right now, so I say that we need to jump on that right away, and it could be a good way to start the ball rolling to reestablish a news department in that slot. And that obviously I have many, many other ideas, but that's the first thing that I thought of. Thank you very much, Clay.
Michael, to the Slack after you.
Okay, go ahead, Bella. That's all right.
Yes, I have to leave. I have to attend the West Hollywood City Council regarding an initiative that they're putting forward, very aggressive, to attack the lack of homeless, low-income housing, and dealing with the crisis of the homeless. So they need some support and some nudging. It's at 6, and I have to prepare. But I wanted to concur with Jonathan, because I do not appreciate one individual putting down in his or her words interpretation of what is being discussed here, is what is being proposed. So we need to come to consensus. So we need to be careful about that. As a committee, everyone's voice should be heard in some cohesive fashion. But I sent out a template of the programming grid and other grids to give people in the most recent grid when I did it, right after the GM left and right after Mo came in, Mo Thomas. So you've got a lot of good recent stuff. If you work, if we work with a template, then we can start moving in furniture and putting things that we feel would be more presentable in this mat. We're in a crisis right now, and we need to shift the station rather quickly away from the funk it's in. So regarding programming, this is the product of Pacifica. So I have been suggesting this for months, that we take this up as a major project and deal with it, so that we can then present the incoming general manager something cohesive that this committee feels comfortable with, hearing everyone's, you know, desires and proposals, because we do not all agree on everything. I have to go. Thank you so much to everybody. See you then.
All right. Thanks, Bella. Safe travels. So I want to add a couple of things. I don't know if other people are on, want to get on the stack, but I agree with a number of things that Raymond said. I think I tried to get the previous general manager to pick up on programming that was being offered by the Robey Theater Company, R-O-B-E-Y. It's a local theater company that commemorates Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson has done a number of stage readings that would have been effectively, sorry, this card's going to be like, would have been effectively broadcast. I also try to connect the station, this relates to the question of humor, with the San Francisco Meme Troupe or Mime Troupe, which has been doing podcasting and live radio dramas instead of their performances in the park for the last couple of years because of the pandemic, and was able to get the management to pick those up. But I think those are, the, you know, would be very interesting to our audience locally. One is local, the other is, you know, quite internationally renowned Commedia dell'arte and satiric theater company that does a lot of very politically significant theater and has a lot of pieces that could be easily broadcast on KPFK. The other proposal I've made in the past is to approach people like Walter Mosley and Kay Jemison. There are many notable authors, I think, of you know, popular fiction that might be interested in having radio serial dramatizations of their work. And I think that this would be a coup for KPFK and Pacifica if we could arrange to do that, and would be a really stimulating type of broadcast in line with the mission statement to promote, you know, arts and culture. The last thing I want to say about the question of humor, my suggestion, as I said, was that a lot of people look for a kind of late night humorous newscast, and I think it would be beneficial if you were going to carry Stephanie Miller, because I think actually her show is podcast at night to that type of audience. It's not designed for a morning show. People want to wake up and I think get some serious coverage of what's going on in the world and what's being done about it. And I think that that's the other thing that KPFK lacks in a lot of its programming is solutions. There are a lot of solutions being crafted out there by grassroots organizations, whether it's, you know, migrant rights groups and the DACA Dreamers, you know, Undocumented and Afraid, or mutual aid groups, tenants' unions. And I think that KPFK needs to cover more of that type of activity that's going on out in the community, because it is solutions oriented and it is focused not just on what's wrong, but what people are doing to fix and create a better and different world. So I think that that's something else to think about in terms of our programming. There needs to be more uplifting, whether it's spiritually, politically, intellectually, emotionally, or culturally. And I think that that's something we've lost with a lot of our programming, is too much of a litany of woe that doesn't give people, you know, a lot of the NPR stations basically want people to feel good when they listen and feel like they're smarter than other people. And I think that we have to give people a sense of empowerment and a sense of capacity to do something about the problem, not just information about how bad things are, but what people are doing to fix it, whether it's you know, to learn about urban gardening, to deal with food deserts or permaculture or mutual aid and, you know, distribution of, you know, prophylactic masks and gloves and so on to the homeless and all the things that are happening in the society that are positive despite what the, you know, the powers of be are doing to destroy us all. So that's my last comment. But, you know, I like a laugh. But, you know, the Firesign Theater was, you know, a Pacifica creature and very, very funny. And I think that, you know, we have the capacity to tap into a lot of content that's being produced right now and solutions that are being crafted right now. And we need to make our listeners aware of them. I think that is what will attract listeners back and solve our financial problem. I think that's the key to dealing with, you know, these endless fundraisers. The reason we're in them is that we have tapped out. I just want to say to Ray that I will thank you on behalf of the local station board, nobody from the management has ever thanked you for your financial contributions and your other interesting contributions in the governance. So whatever that's worth. Are there other people on stack or
Raymond's on stack?
Raymond, go ahead.
Margo.
Okay, oh. Raymond, and then Margo.
Margo.
And Margaret Gilson, please.
And Michael Heiss, please.
Okay, I heard Raymond and Margo. Then some other female voice. Who is that?
Maria Skelton.
Oh, hi, Maria. Okay, yeah. So Raymond, Margo, Maria, and Michael Heiss, and then maybe we'll wrap it up. Almost 6 o'clock.
Thank you. What you said, Michael, means a lot to me, as a matter of fact. Another point that I wanted to make and neglected to is that the Pacifica Radio Archives are fascinating, wonderful listening. And I don't hear them. The only time I do occasionally is during a fund drive when I can get 20,000 hours for a hundred and whatever dollars on some kind of drive. And I don't know about that, but there are radio programs, I don't mean previously run, but there's enough in that archive to fill up the minds of listeners with contemporary and not so contemporary history and present day repeats. We simply don't use the bloody archives enough. We monetize them, which is okay with me, but we should be using them for programming as well. Thank you.
Thanks. I think Margo is next.
Okay. Michael, it's very strange, but when you speak, I have sometimes trouble understanding your words. I can hear the volume, but the words seem to sort of hard to understand. But secondly, I just wanted to say that when somebody said they were not thanked on the air, that's very, now that there is an off-site pledge collector, so to speak, they can't thank the people directly, but the Roots Music and Beyond crew on Saturdays will thank the people who pledged the week before. And that's the kind of thing that maybe could happen now. That's one thing. And then when that person mentioned we don't have programs that have dramas that aren't interrupted, you have to expand to an hour. LA Theater, LA, we have to send Pacifica Performance Showcase and Arts and Review back to an hour. Then we could have different dramatists, different things discussed about theater and arts. Many of the programs, like Anti-War Radio, as I keep saying, that could replace Ian on Sunday. And so I think we have to really look at the programs. There are programs like the one about Voices from the Frontlines. He's always talking about local events. Michael Slate Show is always talking about local events. The man, you know, the communist piece, he's always saying there's going to be a rally. Those programs could be featured because they're talking about local events. So I'd like to see that we just really value the ones we have and then bring in new, but they can use as an example the ones who are very good and successful. So thank you. And I still want Uncle Ruthie to have a prominent spot starting from her very beginning program and just have it as a feature. That would be part of the archives, too, and that could be like a treasure, like maybe for as long as it takes to play every one of her shows, it's like a special treasured place that everybody notices and goes to, and that would be lovely to do that. And, you know, just make it a special feature. But thank you so much for everybody's input. We really make our station special when we all work together like this. Thank you.
Thanks. Who was next? I forget.
I think it was Michael, then myself.
I couldn't remember all the rest. Michael Heiss and then Maria Skelton.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I was going to say Maria was first, but thank you. I have a quick question that somebody raised an interesting point about the 8 to midnight Spanish music programming. And, Michael, a question for you. Do we have HD radio? I spoke to HD radio on a business matter, not at all connected with this. But when I spoke to the business development woman, I said, you know, I'm running for KPFK local station, blah, blah, blah. Do they have it? And she said, well, they paid the fee so they can have it. And I don't know what the technical requirements are to institute that. And obviously it would have been appropriate for me to talk to her further on that because I don't have any standing. But if we could, as an example, take the Spanish music program and put it to an HD2, that would open up.
No, sorry, go ahead.
That would open up that prime evening spot. The BBC has a program called the History Hour, and every night they go into once a week, they go into their archives, pull out programming, as Raymond, I believe, just said, and then relate it to a current problem. Voting rights, fall of Saigon. Oh, you can watch the news and say, Pacifica did that. They have seminal information that you could then play against the current situation. And in terms of comedy, boy, I used to listen to Procter & Bergman. I guess I'm showing my age as well. And I'm fairly certain that Phil Proctor is still around. Maybe he could be induced to come back and do a show. And again, also, yeah, Stephanie Miller in the evenings, not in the morning. So thank you for your listening.
Yeah, just to respond, Maria, before you go. Yes, I had thought that KPFK lost its chance to have HD radio, but I did have a conversation with Mo Thomas, the interim general manager, and he explained that actually the CPB, I think, essentially covered HD for all public radio stations. So we have the option, actually, of having HD signals. It would require some engineering work on the tower, but because we did a couple of years ago, we bought two new actual transmitters, the things that broadcast the signal, we would have the capacity to split our signal that way. However, I would definitely oppose the idea of putting the Spanish language broadcasting on the HD channel. I think what I think was Ray suggested of putting some English broadcasting for people who don't want to listen to the Spanish or don't understand it while it's on. But the KPFT made the mistake of shunting all its Black, Indigenous, and people of color programmers in English as well as Spanish onto their HD channel recently. It was a horrible, horrible decision because HD, quite frankly, is not listened to as widely as FM, and FM is certainly not in the Spanish-speaking community. So I think that would be an opportunity to have, you know, it makes sense to go for HD, but I would disagree with shunting the Spanish language broadcast off. Spanish language broadcasting on FM is one of the most popular formats in Los Angeles because of the nature of the community here, and often ranks the highest of any station on the FM dial. The difference is that our programming is of a different political character than what is broadcast on most of the commercial Spanish language stations. And there is no other equivalent, just as there's no equivalent in English for what KPFA broadcasts. So I think that getting the HD channel makes sense, but it should be for the add some English channels. We could add multiple music channels and so on. I think it would require some expense, which might be beyond us right now, but it's definitely something to plan for and work on. Go ahead, Maria, and then...
I'd love to discuss that with you in person when we can do such things.
Sure. Okay.
And Margo wants to make a comment about something like that, too, okay? So.
Okay.
May I do that now?
Wait for Maria, and then we'll come back to it.
Okay, come back to me. I'll bring it up when I'm on the grid.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being on this call. This is great. I took a lot of good notes. My name is Maria Skelton. Some things that really caught my attention was some things that I've brought up in the past. I do agree with the caller that said having people on, like the police. Now, you may have the officer on, but that doesn't mean that the radio station endorse or agree with what's going on. You can make sure every 5 minutes you say a disclaimer. This is just an information process, our situation and our meeting. We do not agree. We do not endorse. Something like that if you would like. But being part of the police department, I am on a CPAP, which is, what is it? Community Police Advisory Board. I take the information from the community, make sure that the community wants, thoughts, and needs are being heard. There's a program that a lot of people don't know that I wish they had the opportunity to speak on the radio to know about. It's called a diversion program. We all have a loved one that went to jail, prison, juvenile hall, etc. But a lot of people don't know that there's a program that if you sign up in that program, diversion program, and you complete the program within a month, within a year, whatever the situation may be, that felony will be dropped to a misdemeanor and or completely dropped off your record. Now, that will help a lot of people get Section 8, get housing, get jobs. But if we're not at the table to know what programs that's being brought to the table or what's at the table, how would we know to be able to help our loved ones? So that's something that, which is easy, of course, to get a captain of the police department if you need me to speak. But that program will help so many people. Instead of them being charged, just think of how many people that's in jail, prison, et cetera, right now that have to go to court. If they can get in that program, that will help them. Now, another one is political. You say politics, people say, oh, no, no. But, of course, we're not into politics. I know the radio station's not. We don't adore. But there is, everybody knows someone that have dealt with or passed away from diabetes. But there's a politician out there that says a lot of people are passing away and not paying for their medicine for when they have diabetes and not paying for the medicine because it's too high. There's a politician that's trying to get the fees waived and or reduced because a lot of people are saying either I take and pay for my diabetes medicine or pay rent. Or pay the light bill, or pay my car note. A lot of people are saying, I'm not going to buy the medicine. I'm just going to pay my bills. So he's saying, let's write a bill that says let's reduce that or let's completely waive that fee. So it's little things. I know there's, you know, a lot of people have different feelings about the police and politicians and everything else like that, but there are some things that we really need to know. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maria. Margo, you wanted to come back to the, was it the HD question or something else?
Margo wanted to bring up to the person who's complained about the Spanish language programming. When you look on the grid that we have looked at, it says that they have a call-in program. It's listed right there on the grid. So they are reaching out to the community in a very different way. They bring in alternative views than you get on the other Spanish language programming. So that you need to not denigrate it. And people can learn Spanish. Ando Sin Fronteras, host Tanya Torres, translates everything. We could have something similar. Now, I had another note that we also, that was a great idea what she said about that program. You just said that would be great to have some experts on to talk about that, and there could be programmers who could discuss it. It could be a community service announcement, say, well, there is a diversion program, contact this information to get information, and that would be good. And it's just that we need to increase the time. Richard Wolf and Robert Rice talk about exactly what the person was saying about not being able to afford the medicine, and they are always talking about the underlying economic system that has caused this in this country, and is one of the only ones in the world that has this negative kind of way that doesn't help the people. So we have programmers on that are already addressing these issues, but they're squinched up into a half an hour on Sunday morning. They're not in prime time. Even Ralph Nader could be on more often, or once a week for sure, featured. And then, okay, let me get into the 4 o'clock thing now. The only new program on is, it's turning out to be that actually Sona Lee and her uprising program, it used to be called Intifada, by the way, she, which means the bird shaking itself in the morning.
Nope.
She has actually done a good program when I hear it. It's only once a week, but that slot should not have repeats. That should have new programs on every day at that 4 o'clock slot, including hers. It should not be a repeat because they put the broadcast on. He had calls in today on his One Life program, and they should be taking programs that have been put on podcast back to the normal grid, fitting them in by reducing some of the extra programs hours. And I think we've had some good resources that have been shunted away. We need a program director that is an employee of the people, and that person could coordinate it, but at our behest. And that, I think, would be an important thing, because the other one did it in a different way, and we need to find one who does it in a way that's the Pacifica mission statement. Yes, and having anti-war radio on at an hour at a prime time would be following the mission statement quite dramatically, and I think that would be something we should really push for. Thank you.
Thanks. I just wanted to correct one or two things you said, Margot. Radio Intifada was never a Sonali show. Radio Intifada is the show that became Swana, Southwest Asia.
When she first started her program, she used the name, then she changed it to Uprising because she didn't like the context. But it means, that word means what a bird does in the morning when it wakes up and shakes its feathers. I remember when she was talking about that when she first did that. Yes, there may be another program called that now. But I think that was the name she used until she changed it to Uprising. Okay? And that her program was, some of the ones I've listened to have been okay. So that, you know, she started, well, you want me to tell you history. She used it to answer the questions that before she even, she would tell the people and give them the answer. All they could say was yes or no. So she's learned to be a better interviewer. So it's kind of funny because she has more like, now she'll say, well, what do you do? And da, da, da. There are some very good interviewers that could give people lessons on how to do it. So the guests will give the answers rather than the host having to fill it in. So thank you. Radio is a big part of my life, so it's appreciating that other people are sharing this with me. We all have to see each other in person someday for real, but right now we're like imaginary friends, so let's hope that we can just really get together in person. But thank you, everyone. I'm going to mute again.
Sure. The other thing I was going to say about 4 o'clock is that the other timely and current show that's on at 4 o'clock now is COVID Race and Democracy, which is nationally produced by people around the network, including Polina Vasiliev here at KPFK, Steve Zeltzer, who show was taken off KPFA, but still produces Akua Holt from KPFT in Texas. I think Bernabe Brown still has some advisory role from WPFW, and that show also incorporates content from our affiliates, which is something else that's been missing from Pacifica. We have a sort of one-way relationship where we ask the affiliates to pick up content from us, but COVID Race and Democracy is the only one I'm aware of that actually takes content from the affiliates. We've had, broadcasts have included affiliates from Alaska, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, and a lot of other areas around the country where they're not Pacifica stations, but there are stations affiliated with Pacifica. And I think that's a really important show. That's on Wednesdays now at 4. And that was show was mandated by the Pacifica National Board. The PNB created a COVID task force that I was part of as an LSB member here, and generated the proposal for that show, which it was carried for a month on all 5 stations, and is now a weekly show. And KPFK, for some reason, refused to carry it for a long time. They started podcasting it, and now they do have it on the airwaves. I think it's a very, very good example of what unpaid staff primarily can do in creating actually a national newscast. And so they had coverage last week, for example, of a instance of racism at the L.A. Port, the harbor facility in the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, and interviews with nurses about the prospect of the COVID pandemic continuing for possibly years to come. And so they're on top of a lot of things that should be more of on the airwaves here. And I'm glad the show is finally being aired on KPFK. As far as the strength of the programming, I want you to respond also to John saying, I think the idea of a COVID show, because COVID raised the Marxism with a lot of things, not only COVID, but I think a local show that talked about public health and prophylactic measures and ways people can improve their immune systems and all the rest of it, and some debate would be a positive thing. I think a lot of people would tune in for it. I think there are, physicians and public health specialists and others that, we could tap to do that. I do think that as far as the newscast, the 6 p.m. hour is when people are accustomed to hearing news. The thing is that we're getting the KPFA news entirely, and we need to recreate a news department. I do think it's within our grasp to do so, as I said, using essentially beat reporters and stringers. I appreciated Andrew's thing about Frank Sterling, and I think we'll follow up with him. We did have a very successful, for a period of time, People's School of Broadcasting right here at KPFK, and I think some of that could be resurrected and maybe supplemented with what Frank is doing at KPFA. But she's not on this call, but Sue Cohen Johnson has recommended several times that every programmer should have be training a kind of intern of younger people, particularly from communities of color. And I don't know if people saw the census, but I assume people have I think it says something like 1/3 of the U.S. population now lives in counties that are a majority people of color, and that's certainly true of most of the Southern California counties. It's definitely true of Los Angeles County, and probably true of the whole metropolitan region, including San Diego, maybe not Santa Barbara. But the demographics of Orange County are changing dramatically, and I think that the young population in the United States and locally is overwhelmingly young people of color. And I think it behooves us to go and have a station in 5 months, let alone 5 years or 5 decades, that we take that into consideration, developing our programming and, giving voice to people who are tremendously creative and are doing things to change the world. So a little after 6, then we can wrap it up at this point, and I'll thank everybody on behalf of Beth, who had to leave early, and we'll call it a day on this call. Again, let me repeat that late. The LSD is now putting out a weekly newsletter of upcoming meetings. We did include this one in it. It went out earlier today. But if you want to get on the list, you send a blank email to SYMPA, S-Y-M-P-A, at lists, L-I-S-T-S, dot riseup, R-I-S-E-U-P, dot net, nothing to do with Sonali. And in the subject line, not the body of the email, but in the subject line, type subscribe, KPFK LSB News, all one word. and then you'll get a verification email from riseup.net, and if you respond to that, you'll be on the list. The next one won't be out till next week, but I think you can look at the archives on the website. The other thing to mention is we are now updating the LSB CAB PNB page on kpfk.org. Ali Lexa, our webmaster, gave me, as chair, access to that, and I've been putting on information there, including Beth's very voluminous recent PNB director's report that covered a lot of what's happening on a national level. And the last thing to say is that there are a number of meetings coming up. One of them is the PNB Development Task Force. And both LSB committees and PNB task forces are open to member participation like this one is. There's no rules on public comment. You just join the stack as you did on this one. The PNB Development Task Force, I think, will be meeting on Monday, and you can check that on kpftx.org for the access information and the time. I think it's 4 p.m. local time, but I'm not positive, so look for that. And thank you.
Thank you.
We scheduled a special LSB meeting.
Thank you.
We scheduled a special LSB meeting before the end of the month to talk with the IGM and the incoming GM, if possible, about some confidential personnel matters, but also the financial crisis. And I think once we get done with the confidential personnel matters, the rest of it could be open. So look for a posting about that as well. All right, have a good evening, everybody, and thanks for your participation and all your great ideas.
Can I
have a good evening?
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.